Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to continue with a message we began Thursday night. In fact, if you want to hear it in more detail, the beginning, get Thursday night's message. And know that we not only have CDs, but we have a kiosk back there. I don't know if that message is loaded up yet or not. Not loaded yet or not. But soon it'll be on our kiosk. You can download on a flash drive for free. Or onto your, you know, your device if it can take a USB hookup. And, well, let's go to Isaiah 60. Have you got it? Verse 1 says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but his glory shall be seen upon thee," right? So here it talks about the glory of God coming to the earth, and it's coming at a time of gross darkness. Darkness and gross darkness. And the two really are coming to a showdown in the end times. Gross darkness is going to try to rise up and overtake the earth, but God's glory is going to arise and overtake gross darkness. Amen. And so, in prayer, I guess it was last week, the Lord started speaking to me about gross darkness. And He started talking to me about how people don't recognize what gross darkness is. They tend to think of darkness as an absence of light. Right? So we as Christians have heard the same, you know, the little Bible stories. Just let your little light shine. Even the smallest match or candle will light up the darkest of rooms. And we've had this mentality, we just got to let a little light shine. And the Lord started speaking to me about little lights aren't going to do it against gross darkness. In fact, He said gross darkness, spoke it to me. I think I was over on the couch. Gross darkness is not the absence of light. It's a demonically initiated cloud. We'll just call it a yuck. A spiritual blindness that is not the absence of darkness. It blocks, not the absence of light. It blocks light. In fact, I saw it as a sooty cloud. That if you have a house, you know, say you have a house that's on fire and it's full of this thick black smoke. Have you ever seen smoke from a house fire? A little light's not going to cut it in that kind of a house. But God's got a spotlight He's going to bring on the scene called the glory of God that will cut through that darkness. In fact, I'm convinced only the glory of God will cut through this end time darkness that's manifesting. What is coming on the scene right now, no election can displace. No picketing or protesting is going to stop it. Not even a unification of all the churches attempting to get together is going to hinder this cloud. Amen. It's a cloud that's been birthed through man's rebellion against God, against violating the principles or the statutes of the kingdom of heaven. And only the glory has the power to reverse it. Now the glory will affect, it will affect elections. It'll cause people to unite. Amen. But it's going to come through a people that are truly seeking God with all of their hearts and moving into His end time love. So this cloud is going to require more than little Christians carrying their end time light. In fact, we discussed last week the vision Mark Barclay had of the cloud he saw rolling in, sucking up everybody, including Christians. And the only people escaping the cloud, sucking everybody up the cloud of darkness, were those that had a pure heart and clean hands. They were really walking in relationship with Jesus. And they were running to the cloud of glory. And so God started speaking to me about this gross darkness. And he said, I want you to research that word in Scripture. So I did. I looked up those words started researching. Let me get my notes out here. And it's funny, in that verse 2, he says, darkness shall cover the earth. The word darkness in that passage is the word in the Hebrew, chashik, meaning darkness or obscurity, and it would reference the absence of light. But God had already told me the gross darkness was a cloud of sludge, demonically inspired sludge or yuck. That's not the words they use, but that's my interpretation of what I saw. And the word gross darkness in this verse in the Hebrew is the word erephel, meaning a heavy, thick cloud. And at times, a dark cloud. So here we look it up, and it is exactly what God said. It's a cloud that blocks light, not just the absence of light itself. And so I started researching all the appearance or the occurrences of this word in the Old Testament and discovered something. The thick cloud reference here doesn't have to be dark. In fact, when Moses went up Mount Sinai, it says he went into this thick cloud, the same Hebrew word translated gross darkness here. He went into a thick cloud. When Solomon dedicated the temple, you remember when the glory came in and the priest could not stand to minister? Same Hebrew word, the glory came in as a thick cloud. So what we have here, however, the majority of times this word is translated in the Old Testament, of course, it's a Hebrew word, it won't be in the New, it references a demonic cloud. Do you follow me on this? And so apparently, the devil's got his thick cloud of darkness, and God's got his thick cloud of glory. And when I saw this, I remembered the vision I had of the glory cloud in the parking lot. And you guys have heard me describe it. It was a cloud of glory, so dense, if you put your hand into it up to the wrist, you could not see your fingertips. It was that dense. A shining, brilliant white glory. So, gross darkness just means a thick cloud. And Mark Barker's vision saw a cloud of darkness on one hemisphere being opposed by a cloud of glory on the other hemisphere. And they're coming at each other, right? And we have the opportunity to run into the glory, just like Habakkuk said. Like God told Habakkuk, those that read the vision should run to the vision. Amen. So are you running today? God's raising up a people that will run into the glory. But as I started researching the verses, and there's not a whole lot of them where this word appears. This word doesn't appear a whole lot in the Old Testament, something like 14 times. As I researched this word for gross darkness, I discovered it was a connecting word for many of the prophetic passages dealing with the glory coming forth. In fact, it dealt with much of the topics we've been speaking about lately. Now again, I cover this in length, some of the introductory statements Thursday night, so I'm not going to recover those today. But I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 34. And much more rapidly than we did Thursday night, go through this passage. So if you go in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to go to verse number 12. Just to show you this Hebrew word in this passage. Verse 12 says, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among... Let me read that. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Cloudy and dark day is the word for gross darkness. Actually, dark day is. And so God in Ezekiel 34 is doing something in the day of gross darkness. So we can now tie this entire chapter to Isaiah chapter 60, because it's the same day that he's referring to, or the same season he's referring to. So if we go to verse number 1, it says in verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" Now how, as a shepherd, that's talking about pastors, what are pastors supposed to be feeding the flocks? The Word of God. Amen? Now what he's referring to here in the natural is the shepherds were busy just taking sacrifices, fueling their own lives, advancing their own system, their own church, as far as us would be a church, building their own ministry, and not really feeding the sheep. Amen. This could be somebody building a mega church and the people are still fed, baby food. You know, you can feed people something, but it not be enough to cause them to grow up. You feed them, strained peas, they're not going to go very far. People to grow up need meat. So God's saying, you're not feeding the sheep. And he's getting on to he's dealing. In fact, this season of gross darkness, he's going to deal with shepherds or pastors that are not bringing their people the meat of the word. Do you follow me? Verse 3, "You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool." Where does the wool come from? The sheep, they're shearing the sheep. "You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock." In other words, it's all about a building program, or it's all about building a new facility, or a new gym, or a new outreach, or whatever, and it's not raising the people up in the word of the Lord to cause them to grow up to the fullness of the image of the stature of Christ, right? Fullness of the stature of the image of Christ, to grow up. "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick." Now here, God deals directly with healing. You're not seeing people healed. You're not seeing people supernaturally strengthened. "Neither have you bound up that which is broken." There's no anointing to bind up the wounds. Are you following me on this? "Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." Now, force and cruelty, I believe, references condemnation doctrine. God's going to throw you into hell if you don't, make sure you're in church every time we meet and, follow these rules. But it says God here is rebuking the shepherds that have not regathered the sheep. Instead, they've scattered them. And at times, people have accused us of scattering sheep. Amen. Well, Pastor, if you're really of God, you'd have a mega church now, and instead people come in, they just go right back out the door. Well, they go back out the door because they don't want to make the changes necessary to really be gathered. And I'm not saying I'm the pastor for everybody, but the majority of people come in and hear the word. They, we love it here, but they leave because they'd rather live in sin than live in truth. Truth becomes a dividing force between those that can go in and those that can't. But we have a wrong mentality about gathering the sheep. We have thought, are y'all listening to me? We have thought gathering the sheep meant to bring them to a church building. But God's not concerned about people being in a church building per se. The gathering place is not a building. It's the kingdom. The gathering place for God is the kingdom of God. Now understand, He's ordained the church. He's assigned church buildings. But your church building should be an assembly place for people to go into the kingdom, to assemble by the power of the kingdom. And you can have a huge church, be preaching a message every day that's scattering sheep away from the kingdom. They may make it every single service, but not hearing about the anointing that destroys the yoke and removes the burden. They may not be hearing about the coming glory or the ability to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And even though they assemble faithfully, they're scattered away. In other words, they're separated from the kingdom of God. Especially when a pastor gets up and says, we just don't believe the miracle power of God is available today. It passed away with the first century church. We believe speaking in tongues is of the devil. Since the Bible is finished, God's no longer calling men to, you know, anointing men to speak in tongues. And the apostle and prophet, those gifts have passed away. Those offices don't exist anymore. And by the way, women can't preach. They've not heard some of them I've heard. Amen. And on, different rules or restrictions. Well, you can't pray, we believe in praying in tongues, but you can't pray in tongues in a church publicly. That's forbidden. You don't understand the word. And the different diversities of tongue that exist. And so what happens is when we start slaying down these standards or stipulations, if it's got to be this way, especially when they rule out the power of God, you just scatter the sheep. Because you're separating them from God's target, which is the kingdom of God. And God's gathering place is not a location. It's a realm. And if you minister a word that separates people from the realm God's wanting to pull us together to, you scattered them. Amen. And so, God's rebuking the shepherds that are not healing, they're not feeding, they're not gathering people, really, I believe, to the assembly of the Holy Ghost Church. He goes on and he says, verse 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, no one to lead the way. I'll tell you right now, I've got one target for my life. It's the glory of God. I'm going that direction all my heart. Amen? So I'm not sending you somewhere I'm not targeting going myself or leading you somewhere. Hopefully I'm leading you. Amen? And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Meat to the beasts of the field. In other words, they're becoming devoured by the world system, by the demonic powers. Why would that be? Is God punishing them because they didn't come to His church? No, they don't know faith. They don't know righteousness. They don't know their rights in the kingdom. And so they have no shield of faith against the demonic onslaughts. Not only that, because they're not gathering to the place of light, darkness happens. And again, that vision Mark Barclay had, Dr. Barclay had a vision where this dark cloud was sucking people up, and a lot of them were Christians because they had crosses on. But they weren't sold out. They were learning to live by faith. Amen. There's going to be a whole lot of unhappy Christians in these end times when they find out just believing that Jesus is the Son of God is not going to be enough to deliver them from the forces of evil that are going to come on the earth and the collapses that will take place. Amen? Verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. I mentioned this Thursday night, and I'm going to repeat this part. A dirty word in Christianity between pastors is the word proselyting. Proselytizing, right? That, you know, if somebody belongs to a church, it's almost taboo to try to get them to come to your church. Well, you're trying to steal sheep. And, you know, if you got dead churches stealing church sheep from dead churches, what's the big deal? Amen. Might as well leave them where they're at. But Jesus was a proselyter. Everybody he gathered belonged to the synagogue. Amen. Even Peter and John and Andrew and Nathan and others, they were actually disciples of John the Baptist. And Jesus took his sheep. Now, John said, I've got to decrease so he can increase. I believe he let him go. He recognized what was on Jesus' life. But yet, Jesus took people from one level of ministry to a whole other level. And so I'm here to tell you, I have no problem proselyting people from dead churches. I don't proselyte people from live churches. I'm not going to go get them from Pastor Callahan's church or Pastor Phillip's church or Pastor Jim's. But if they're in a dead situation, I'll tell them, come over here. We can help you. Come over here and find out what God's doing in the end times. Amen. But here God says there's nobody seeking after the sheep. One reason nobody's seeking after them is because we put these barriers that says you can't do that if they're in another church. And so we've confused evangelism programs with seeking after the sheep. When I'm convinced the most powerful thing you can do to evangelize is get full of the love of God. Versus try to scare people into the kingdom. But God makes this point, nobody is seeking after the sheep to bring him to the place of assembly. Where's the place of assembly? The kingdom of God. Amen. Can I throw this out? There's a whole lot of people have a fire for God right now in dead churches. They have a heart to go into the things of the kingdom. They're sold out to God with everything they have. Whatever God would tell them to do, they would do. But they're in a church that's not feeding them. Amen. Thank you for that. And there's crying at God. I want to know you. I want to know the truth. You know, do what you've got to do. And God's got assembly point churches where they're coming as remnant Christians out of different denominations, out of different charismatic churches, even out of the world. He's pulling them together to produce His remnant church of the end times. Amen. But I want you to see something here in a few minutes. Verse 7, therefore you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. In other words, they're building their own system versus raising the people up in the truth. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. God's about to deal with shepherds not feeding the sheep. I've declared it for years. I believe denominations are going to fold in these end times. Not all of them, but many. Especially when a denomination is now saying we have made a shift in our philosophy or in our tenets of faith. We now approve of homosexual marriage. That church is doomed. Amen. God, so I'm about to deal with these shepherds. I forget how many pastors a month are right now leaving the ministry from burnout or just can't keep the doors open. Basically, just no desire to go on. It says, and cause him to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. God says, I'm about to separate the flocks from the shepherds not feeding them. That's churches closing. Amen. Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. That's the verse I want you to see. God says the shepherds are not bringing the sheep in to the kingdom. There's nobody searching out what it takes to bring the sheep into the kingdom. So God says, I'm going to search them out. I'm going to bring them in. Here's what I'm getting at. God right now is moving in denominational churches. He's moving in even charismatic churches that are playing games. You know, they just think because they sing contemporary music, you know, well, they're in the flow of God. But they're not teaching faith. They're not teaching stretching the people in, you know, what it takes to move into the glory. God's right now is extracting people out of those systems and bringing them together to a meeting place where they can enter into the kingdom of God. Do you follow me? Probably nearly everybody in here came out of another church or another system, and I know most of your testimonies, not everybody's, but you have said to me, my church was dead. Amen? Or I wasn't being fed. And you say, praise God, here at least I'm getting the word. May stretch me. May have to fight some battles. But I'm getting fed and I'm learning how to win. And that's God doing verse 11. He said, I'm bringing forth my sheep. Each of you have a story. If we were to have a sharing time and hear your stories, some of you, God spoke to directly and says, you need to go to that church. Others, you came in and God said, here is your church. Others heard about what was going on. You came in to visit, and when you got here, you knew it was your church. That's a God thing. In fact, there may be nobody here, I don't know of anybody, that I recruited in here. Amen. I know Pastor Rebecca, I called her years ago and said, come over here, because she wasn't going anywhere. Billie Jean met her by divine appointment at a Chili's restaurant. She was a waitress. What, 12 years ago? 11 years ago. And God connected us, and boom, there she was. And we could do story after story. God woke Tim Strunk up at midnight one night. Said, Jack, she's got a word for you. And then God put everything together. God's pulling this thing off. And we have to be those that don't fight it. We're going to be willing to break away from family ties, soul ties, amen. Fear of, well, I can't go to that church. That church is crazy. They lay hands on people and they fall out in the spirit. Would you like to hear a testimony? I had somebody call me Friday morning. No, it was Thursday night, late Thursday night. Asking me to pray for him and his family. He's never been to this church. He's been invited. And he goes to one of the largest charismatic churches around here and been going there probably over 20 years. He and his family, friends, everything. And he was needing prayer, and so I prayed for him. I said, you know, you ought to consider coming over to this faith rally in Frankfurt Friday night. It was Friday morning when he called. You ought to consider coming over. Pastor Philip and Apostle Callan are ministering on faith. And he said, I love those two. And he told me a story. He said, I'd been saved for a long time, been in church, in this charismatic church forever, and it's probably been at least 10 years ago. He had a series of heart attacks. His workplace did an EKG or whatever test and saw the damage. They sent him to the doctor. They did two more sets of tests. Each one came back, all three tests showing the same damage and major blockages. And he said, I felt led to go to Pastor Phillips' church. He'd only met him like one time. And in fact, I know this guy better than Pastor Philip does, but my church wasn't taken off yet. It's been back in the early 2000s. And he came over one night on a Friday night. And he was hearing the word, and he thought, well, I need to go home, and his legs wouldn't move. He couldn't get out of the chair. And so Pastor Philip, at the end of service, calls him out. He says, come up here. And his legs would move that direction, but they wouldn't move the other direction. He's talking about it. And this fellow is probably my age, at the time probably 50-ish. And he's a big guy. He comes up in the prayer line. And Pastor Philip says, the Lord shows me that you've had heart problems, major heart problems. He says, is that true? He says, yes, that's true. He said, well, this is your day. Those problems are about to cease. Amen. Now, let me interject this. This individual told me, he said, I've been in church all my life. And I've seen on TV where Benny Hinn or other people pray for people and they fall down. He said, I've never seen it in my life, in real life. I'm going, you're in a charismatic church for all your life and never seen anybody fall out in a spirit? Is this really a charismatic church? Amen. That's the question. Because I can't imagine that. And so he said, Pastor, he said he believed it was real. He just never seen it happen in real life. He said, Pastor Philip laid hands on him. I guess he laid hands on his chest. He said the power of God shot through him and he was on the ground. And then he knew it was real. And Pastor Philip says, you've got a brand new heart. God's healed you. So we went home, and I think Monday was scheduled for more tests. I think they were lining him up for bypass or whatever, you know. And because he had damage as well to the heart. I was transplant. He didn't know if he was going to live. So he went to the doctor, had more tests done. But when he went in, he says, Doctor, God's healed me. He's healed my heart. He was making a faith statement. He wasn't sure he believed it himself. But they ran the test. The doctor said, well, we'll see. They ran the test. They came back and says, we think there's an error. We need to run them again. So they ran the test again. And they sent him home. And he was thinking, man, they found something. They had to check it again. I'm going to die. And he was really in fear. He drove all around that day. He said, drove all through the country, you know, just afraid to go home. And the doctor says, I'll call you later with the results. When he got home, his son met him at the door and says, the doctor's been trying to get a hold of him. He says, call him right away and call him on his cell phone. Then he was really scared. If I've got to call the doctor on a cell phone, I know it's bad. And his wife says, remember, we're believing God's healed you. The doctor called and says, you said God gave you a new heart, you know, healed your heart. And he says, yes. Doctor says, we can't explain this, but we have 3 EKGs here, if that's the right test. I think it is. They show major damage to your heart from 2 separate heart attacks and major blockages. He said, these new tests that we've run twice, and they're right, show there's 0 damage to your heart, and we see a little bit of blockage in the bottom of your heart equivalent to a 25-year-old man. Boom! Now, what's the point of all that? He's been in a charismatic church all his life, never saw anybody healed, slain in the spirit. But you'd ask people in church, oh yeah, we're a church full of life. Really? But he goes to a church that really has some life, he gets a brand new heart, and then goes back to the church from before. Now I believe he's coming in here, because he said he was. You see, he's had it with that. He knows he needs to move on. What happens? People have these soul ties, these family ties, or they're afraid if they go to the church where people really fall out, you know, what if, you know, there's demons involved? We're casting out demons versus, you know, compromising with them. So God is right now separating people out of these dead systems and pulling them into life. Amen? And I tell people when you come in here, I don't care where you came from. If you will listen and apply yourself to what we teach, in 6 months you won't recognize your life. Because God's going to set you free from some stuff. Even without me ever having to lay hands on you, just the word itself will change your life. Not to mention when impartations take place. Amen? Well, who do you think you are? I really do believe, as God was pouring His mercy on me a while ago, I'm a God-called end-time shepherd of the body of Christ. I believe that. Amen? And not to toot a horn, I'm just telling this where God's got me. And God's got you here for a purpose. I'm writing this book on love. And I tell you, at times I'm on the keyboard, I feel like God's taking over the writing. Not running my hands, but the revelation is coming. And I'm getting revelation writing a book I thought I knew everything about 15 years ago. You know, I'd not knew everything, but you know, it really stretched into the subject. God's doing something here. Now look at verse 12 again. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And God says, my gathering is going to take place in the time of the gross darkness. Here's the good news. If God, you feel you've been directed in here, God's calling you His real sheep. He's saying, there's something I've got to get to you. Amen? And understand, we're all sheep, right? I'm an under-shepherd. But we're all sheep. And God's calling you in for a purpose. And it's greater than you could ever imagine. Amen. It's going to require more of you than you ever thought it would. But God's about to do something. And you've been handpicked by God to go into the glory. Why? Because you're so good looking and so, you know, charismatic and so perfect as a Christian. No, you know why? Because your heart's for Him. That is a sole reason. Your heart's for God. God said about David, He's a man after mine own heart. And that's who God's bringing together right now. People after His heart. And will do whatever's necessary to align their lives with His leading. I refuse to be moved. How about you? I refuse to be moved. Shall we read on? Look at verse 13. Now here's where we left off Thursday. So we didn't get this far Thursday, I don't think. And I will bring them. Or did we? No. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. Oh, by the rivers. Glory to God. And in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. Oh, that's where the Word of God's coming forth. It levels you can't even receive it all. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. The fold is the gathering of sheep. That's a covenant body. And there they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Understand, I spent much time growing up on the farm. And kids that grow up on the farm, they recognize stuff other people don't recognize. Farm boys recognize a field that's overpopulated. Pasture. You go by and you recognize there's too many cows or too many horses on that land because the grass is chewed down to a nub. Amen. All you see is some weeds popping up here and there. And you know, there's too many animals on that area. Or then you drive by one and there'll be animals in it, but there's plush grass everywhere. You know, they could put some more animals on that field. There's room there for more. And God says, I'm bringing my sheep to a pasture that is fat. In other words, there is so much food available, so much word available regarding us, they can't consume it all. See, I've been in church in the past. I was in church in the past where they just couldn't bring me enough to eat. I mean, I get one little revelation from the pulpit, and I chew on that for weeks. It's like, well, I heard something new at church. And it'd be like trying to suck the marrow out of a bone. What else can I get out of this? Because every week was the same message. You need to get saved. God hates sin. Come repent. And occasionally you'd hear something. I was so starved for the Word, I'd listen to every radio program, every TV show, whatever I could listen to, every tape, trying to hear something that would feed me spiritually, advance me spiritually. But I'm telling you right now, I can't eat everything God's bringing us. I'm revelating out of the Word right now at a rate I've never experienced in my life. And right now, I can only bring you probably about 10% of the revelation God's bringing me. Because it's coming so fast, there's not time to teach it. Should we go to service every night? God's moving in these end times. Verse 15, God says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Now, this is interesting. God's assigned the pastors to feed the flock, but God says, I'm the one that's going to do it. If you'll open your Bible, God's about to download from heaven into your life. In fact, if you're really seeking after God right now, you're going to be in the Word, and when you come to church, you're going to hear the revelation that God gave you earlier in the day. You'll be going, I just read that, or God just showed that to me. Because God is so involved in building up His flock, the pastor doesn't have enough time to feed you what you need. You know, we have 3 services a week. How many of you eat 3 meals a week? Only 3 meals. I mean, some of us struggle with just having 3 meals a day, right? 3 meals a day plus snacks in between plus getting up in the middle of the night and eating something, you know. Not to mention the ice cream just as, you know, to settle your food after a meal. And right now as a pastor, I can feed you 3 times a week. But if you'll cooperate with God, He's going to download into you and feed you full time. I mean, He's going to stuff you full. Like that Thanksgiving turkey, fattening it up. To get you able to carry the glory. We can't carry the glory out of a mentality programmed by the world. It's going to take a mind renewed by the Word to think in alignment with the kingdom of God. So God says, I'm going to teach them. I'm going to cause them to lie down. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. God says, I'm about to bring together those that are hurting, that are seeking me, that their lives have been made a mess because they weren't taught how to win. I'm going to heal them. And the ones that think they have it all together, like the Laodicean church, are going to be in trouble. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. You remember our discussions on the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, that a day of separation is coming between the sheep and the goats? The wolves aren't even in consideration. Are you following me? They're already serving the devil. But they're sheep that are after the meat of the Word, and there's goats that'll eat anything. Amen? Goats come here, oh yeah, you preach a good word, and then they'll go over to the, you know, the hyper grace church, oh yeah, they preach a good word too, and and just eat everything. And because of it, can't walk in any anointing, and just live in confusion, and they're in and out of living out of the world. Amen. God says, there's coming a time of separation. I will judge between the cattle and the cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. I believe God here is telling the pastors that aren't feeding the sheep, you've got the finances, you've got the people, you've got the buildings, amen, you've got the platforms. Instead of feeding your sheep, you're starving them. But not only that, you're attacking the rest of the pasture area for those that will feed my sheep. See, it's not enough for a pastor that's in the flesh to try to keep his people in a church through some level of control or bondage. But he's got to tell them that other church down there that is seeing power, that power's inspired of the devil. Those are really false miracles. See, me personally, and I think probably you, if you were leading a church and you found somebody down the road was seeing people healed of everything, I'd send my people there. I'd take the whole group, let's go get some of that. Versus, well, hey, don't go there because he's afraid of losing sheep. He's fouling the residue of the waters, trampling down the rest of the pasture. Oh, my goodness. I'm not threatened by any pastor carrying more anointing than I am. And they're out there. I know who God called me to, you know, what he called me to do, who he's called me to be. I'm after that. And I'm not afraid of anybody coming in. If they come in, God sends them in, they've got more anointing than them, I'll turn a whole group of you over to them. But you wouldn't go, right? I mean, if it was really of God, this is the old color of the motorcycle, this is the new. If it was really God, my goodness, I'll attend his meetings or her meetings. But there's so much fear of losing sheep in the body or within the churches that you have to attack people that really are moving out in some power. Oh, you don't want to go to that church. They preach prosperity over there. Yes. And I have a brand new motorcycle to show you that works. Well, not a new one, but I mean, I got a motorcycle. New to me. And we preach healing, and we see that. Amen. We preach deliverance, we see that. We preach victory, we see that. But God's got a message to the pastors that are not doing their assigned job. Verse 19, and as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. In other words, it's been contaminated. You're giving the sheep fouled grass or meat. And they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, even I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. God, I'm about to do separation. Amen. Where you scattered, I'm bringing back together. And it's interesting, some of you are coming into the kingdom of God, your life's totally intact and the things are soaring. Others are coming in, you know, you're on your last breath. And God, you come here, God treats you all the same. You're members of his remnant church. Verse 23, and I will set up one shepherd over them. Who's that shepherd? Jesus. Pastor Jack's not the one shepherd. Amen? It's Jesus. We're under shepherds. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. Now, when it's talking about his servant David, who's it talking about? That's Jesus. Amen. He's of the seed of David. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Now I need to spend just a few minutes talking about the covenant of peace. Jesus on the cross provided for man a great exchange. When he hung on the cross, he took upon us his sins so we could receive of his righteousness. He took stripes on his body, right, at the whipping post, so that we could be healed. But one of the aspects that he took upon his head was a crown of thorns. Remember they shoved the crown of thorns down on his head? Thorns in Scripture represent the curse. God told Adam, because you have transgressed, because you have sinned, from now on the earth is going to bring forth thorns and thistles. And now you'll have to work the land. The earth is cursed for man's sake, God said. So thorns represent the curse. When Jesus took upon himself the crown of thorns, he took the curse upon his mind, not just upon his body. Remember the cross? He said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? He was tormented at the cross. He wasn't nailed to the thing going, oh, Jesus, oh, it's me, a Father. He wasn't singing hymns. He was being tortured in his soul. And so he took the curse upon his mind in a great exchange so our mind could be set free from the curse. We have a right to live in peace in our minds. We bring in the Word and understand our covenant. We can walk without worry, without fear, without confusion, without oppression, without mental torment. All this purchased through the crown of thorns. Amen. And He provided for us a covenant of peace. But there is a higher meaning to that, the covenant of peace. Through the cross, Scripture says we now have peace with God. Through His blood, we can enter through the veil freely at any time and commune with God. Amen. Because we have peace with God, now we have rights to approach God. Before we were at enmity with God. We were His enemies before the cross. We had no access to His presence. But through the cross, now we have a covenant of peace that we can come before Him freely. And God said, I'm going to take my sheep that come in, and I'm going to bring them into my covenant of peace. They're going to find out that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they can approach my throne freely and bring forth their petitions. And if for another reason, just fellowship with God. Where it says, verse 25 again, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. We talk about this pretty often. We understand the promised land for us is the 6 inches of dirt between our ears. Right? This is the primary promised land we have to take first. We have to take this land by the word. We renew this land by the word, and it displaces the evil beast. It dislodges demonic invasion activity so we can fully follow God. Then we possess the promised land of our cities and our nations. But first you've got to possess the land of the soul. God said, through this covenant of peace, you can now drive the demonic powers out of your mind. You can tell the evil beasts they've got to flee from the land. I need to speed this up. Look at verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my heel, a blessing. And I will cause a shower to come down in his season. There should be showers of blessing. When the curse hit Egypt, there was light in Goshen. Patty saw this tent, my wife Patty saw this black tent come down on America, blocking out all light and rain, except for where the revivalists were around the perimeter. And for them, there will be showers of blessing. Amen. And the earth shall yield her increase. That's the harvest coming in. And they shall be safe in their land and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. You know, when I see nothing shall make them afraid, I think about this anointing of love. Amen. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Love, the glory, is what's going to deliver us from all fear. And I will raise up for them a plan of renown. And they shall be no more consumed with hunger. Oh, glory. They're going to have plenty of word in the land. Neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. God's so going to elevate His end time church. No heathen anywhere will have the nerve to mock you anymore. I was going to throw in something else, but I don't have time. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And you are my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Here is the harvest, here's the revival, here's the outpouring, all taking place in the day of the thick cloud of darkness. God just tied Ezekiel 34, where God's bringing together the remnant church, to Isaiah 60, where God says, I'm going to gather my flock from all the lands where they've been, where they're coming forth from. And this is just one occurrence of the word thick cloud from Isaiah 60. I want to continue in this teaching, looking at these other passages. And you're going to be amazed at what God's tied together with this one word, all these end time events. As we piece together all the different descriptors or the passages that deal with that day of dark, gross darkness or that season, we're going to get a bigger picture of exactly what God's doing in the end times. You are here because God's bringing together His end time church to confront the gross darkness that is now sweeping the world. Are you ready? What an honor. What a God opportunity. God's been dealing with me on this. I got to watch what I say because people are going to think, Pastor Jackson got the big head. I hope that's not it. I don't think that's it. At Tuesday night prayer, was it Tuesday night? Or was it Thursday night? We did CDs Thursday night. Thursday night. I was praying across the front. I walked over on that carpet and God started speaking to me. He says, because you've been faithful to pray in the Spirit and intercede for all these years, your authority is far above when you pray in the Spirit what you think it is. And I could feel the power of intercession going forth. Not just me, but from this church. How many churches you know that are praying Friday nights all night? There's some out there. Dr. Cho's church in Korea have 24/7 prayer going on. But you talk about miracle power as well. God's doing something. And He brought you in to be a part of it. Did you get anything out of this morning? There's so much more I want to get to, but if I go into it, there'll only be probably two people left by the time I'm done today. And I'd be one of them, me and Rebecca. Well, I say, I'm going to eat. You finished up yourself. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to move in the power of Your kingdom. Flow in this place. Make Yourself real. Show people where You've got them positioned in the realm of the Spirit and the assignment You've got upon their lives. Draw us into that place of extreme outpouring. Thank You, Jesus.